And from non-combatants at the front line, we're turning now to the home front. Ashley Hay's novel, The Railwayman's Wife, is set just after the Second World War, in Thirroul, a town south of Sydney that's haunted by D.H. Lawrence's novel, Kangaroo. It haunts her novel too. The characters are aware of it. It's in the library. They're a little discomforted by the version of their town created by a visiting English writer. There's a lot going on in Ashley Hay's novel. She spoke to me recently in Brisbane, and so we'll step aboard a Red Rattler as she takes us to the setting for her book. From there, you could travel north to Sydney or down the line to the wharf or the mines.
We're on the south coast of New South Wales. We're about an hour south of Sydney, I guess. We're on the piece of coast that pushes out from the Illawarra Escarpment, runs from about Stanwell Tops down across the city of Wollongong, which isn't so big in World War II, and then keeps sort of spreading across that plain. Specifically, we're in a village called Thirroul, which has already, in the Second World War, a literary history because it's the place where D.H. Lawrence wrote Kangaroo in the 1920s. The one thing that I think is fabulous about it in the Second World War is its beaches are wired. They, you know, have these lengths of barbed wire along them. So it's this beautiful landscape, gorgeous ocean, stunning beach, escarpment, bush, sky, and this sort of quite obvious physical barrier that the war has created between the people and their horizon.
And why did you choose to go to both this place and this time for your fiction?
I grew up near Thirroul. I borrowed a couple of incidents from my family's own story. This isn't a novel about my family, but I borrowed an accident that occurred to my father's father and the subsequent compensation that was offered to his wife. So my father's father was a railway man. He was killed on the railways just after the Second World War. And as part of the compensation for his death, his wife was offered the job as the railway librarian at the Railway Institute Library in Thirroul. I didn't want to write about them, but I was interested by that sort of moment. And what I was particularly fascinated about in terms of time was, because my grandfather had been involved with the railways, he didn't have to go to the war. There was no compulsion for people to go in the Second World War anyway, but it was an essential service. There wasn't that sort of question of whether he would go or not. He had a job to do here. And it always fascinated me to think about it from the point of view of his wife. She'd kept him with her through that stretch of 6 years when a lot of women saw their husbands go away and a lot of women, you know, their husbands never came home. And I was fascinated by the idea of an accident, a really random thing, just after the war, when you would think, having your husband there, you had him safe, and then this thing happens out of nowhere, and how the proximity to the war and the sort of random nature of the accident would play together as you sort of tried to come to terms with your own grief. The job that she was then offered put her onto the railways, and I was interested by that nexus between the world that had literally taken her husband away from her and then the world that she had to inhabit herself. So all of those things came into play.
And so they're played out by Ashley Hay's fictional characters, the railwayman and the railwayman's wife.
The main family in the book are Annie and her husband Mac, who is the railway man, and they have a daughter, Isabel, who's about 10 years old when the book opens. I did very specifically want them to be a happy family. I wanted them to be a family of readers. I wanted books to matter to them in a way. I wanted them to have, this sounds very mean, but I wanted them to have the kind of closeness that would really be blown apart if one of them was removed from that equation. And I wanted them to have a sort of resilience as well, I guess. I find this a really hard book to talk about because it is about death and about grieving, but I don't think it's a sort of a miserable book in a way. I think I wanted to still look at the things that were life-affirming even after this sort of tragedy had happened at the beginning of the book. And I wanted to look at the ways then the mother and the daughter make sense of the new way that they have to be together and the new way that they have to be in the world.
But that world is having its own crisis over grief and loss. Domestic deaths are somehow measured against an international scale that's incomprehensible. There's a tension there, felt or expressed through some of Ashley Hay's other players.
There are other characters in the book. The two other male characters in the book, the two other main characters in the book as well, are a poet and a doctor, both of whom have been in the war and have come back to Thirroul after, you know, 2 or 3 years have elapsed. And I guess through their sort of personas, I wanted to investigate the different ideas of war and death and scale. And there's a weird accountancy of death, in a sense, which sort of sounds very clinical. But I wanted to try to think about how you would try to rationalise one death against many in those circumstances.
And these two male characters deal with that in very different ways, even though they were friends,
yes,
before the war, and they're sort of meeting and dancing around each other.
Yes.
Afterwards. The doctor is more brutal about it,
yes,
in the way in which he expresses it and the way in which he sort of rubs up against Annie. So
yes.
Tell us about him.
He was inspired by just a sentence someone told me once. I was talking to someone who lived, you know, in a completely different part of New South Wales, who remembered growing up during the war, and he made some reference to a doctor who'd gone away from the village, who'd been involved in the liberation of the camps in Germany and who'd come back after the war. And all he said was, oh, he was never the same again. He could never cope with what he'd seen, or he could never sort of accommodate what he'd seen. And so I suppose the doctor, Frank Draper, was the most direct conduit into the experience of war that the book was going to have and that someone like Annie was going to have, who, you know, feels herself to be quite connected through newspapers and newsreels and things like that, but hasn't actually had to experience awfully much of what's gone on.
And then you have this tender, quite sweet character, really, the poet.
I'm glad you liked him. He was a harder character to find, in a sense. There's a poem that is central to the plot itself, and so a poem needs a poet, in a way, and I think that's how that he sort of suggested himself to me. But I had read, again, biographies and interviews with Australian poets who served and wrote during the war. And there were a couple who referred to the fact that it was the war itself that had almost triggered poetry in them. And there was this strange juxtaposition of, you know, the experience of war and everything we understand about that and the art of poetry and everything we think about that. And so I started to imagine a character who had found poetry, in a sense, under some pretty brutal circumstances and has had some poems published, and then comes back again to that sense where everything's supposed to be back to normal, and he can't write anymore. He can't find anything to write about. He can't find any words. And I don't know if that happened to people, but it seemed to me a reasonable kind of reaction to having used poetry in a sense to make sense of something that was so extreme. And then, again, as someone who hasn't lived through war, I have this sense of it that it's almost supposed to be like a thing that gets turned on and off. It's happening and then it's not happening and everything's meant to go back to normal. And, of course, that can never happen. And the poet and the doctor and I guess Annie herself are all embodiments of the ways in which the war keeps going.
Now, we could call this an immensely sad book because it does explore grief, but that might put people off reading it. So I wonder how else we might describe it, because it struck me as a very tender book.
I hope it's not overwhelmingly sad. That sort of wasn't my intention. We launched the book in Sydney in late March. Michelle de Kretzer launched it for me And I like it when other people start reading your books, because then they start telling you what it's about, and it's the thing you've never quite managed to work out. What she said, which I realised was right, is it's a love story. The railway man does die, but he literally carries on through the story of the book. And I think as much of the book is about the act of loving someone, and also the act of being loved by someone, not in a sort of a schmaltzy or romantic way, but in a quite essential way. So I think it is undeniably a book with a death in it, and with an exploration of one woman's grief. But I think it is also about how she continues to live. It is about an exploration of how she has lived with her husband and of the new shape of life that she makes.
Ashley Hayes, The Railwayman's Wife, is published by Allen & Unwin.